Welcome back to the Curious Kid Podcast. Our mail today comes from a really cool area in the western part of New York State called the Finger Lakes.
Mailbag!
Mailbag! Hello, my name is Alden and I am 7 years old. I love listening to your podcast, especially when I need some time alone to calm my mind. I wanted to write in and ask if you could do an episode on boats. I live near the Finger Lakes, so we are surrounded by water and boats. How does the fuel go to the engine? What makes them go? When was the first boat invented? Thank you for your time. Look forward to your next episode, Alden.
Thanks for the awesome email, Alden. We can't wait to get curious about boats for you. I wonder why they call the lakes near where Alden lives Finger Lakes.
Well, the easy answer is that if you look at the Finger Lakes on a map, you will notice that they look like fingers. According to Native American legend, when the Great Spirit laid hands on the lands to bless it, the fingers left imprints in the ground that filled with water, forming the Finger Lakes.
That's a really cool legend, but it turns out that there are 11 lakes that make up the Finger Lakes.
Well, I have another explanation for you. At the end of the last ice age, which was about 2 million years ago, the glaciers that covered lots of this area in New York retreated, and when they did, trenches were carved into the ground. When those trenches filled with water, they formed the Finger Lakes.
Both of those are really interesting explanations. Let's start learning about boats.
Great idea. Back in 2012, Laura Decker became the youngest person to ever sail around the world by herself in a boat. She was only 16 years old when she accomplished the incredible feat.
The question of the week is, how many days did it take Laura Decker to sail around the world?
While you're thinking about the answer to the question of the week, let's go back in time, way back in time, to learn about the history of boats.
Primitive boats were being used about 800,000 years ago.
That's so long ago. It's so long ago, in fact, that those boats were used by Homo erectus. If you listened to episode 38 of Curious Kid Podcast, Curious About Evolution, you may remember that humans came from apes. During the transition from ape to human, there was a species called Homo erectus that had features of both apes and humans. There are no remains of the boats made by Homo erectus, but many believe that they may have been similar to rafts made of bamboo.
The oldest boat discovered is a canoe that was found in Holland. That's about 10,000 years old.
The canoe was formed by carving out a pine log. It measured 117 inches long and 17 inches wide.
The first sailing boats were used by the ancient Egyptians about 6,000 years ago.
Those sailing boats were reed boats that had sails and a mast and were often used to navigate through the Nile River.
About 1,500 years later, the Egyptians started building wooden boats that were capable of sailing across the oceans.
Fast forward to the year 1000, and the Vikings started to build longboats that were capable of carrying up to 60 people who would help row the boat.
About 200 years ago, the first steam-powered ships began to cross the Atlantic Ocean. They used steam power and wind to move.
In the early 1900s, ships started to be powered by diesel power rather than by burning coal.
The popularity of cruise ships surged in the 1990s. These ships have lots of activities, as well as restaurants and shops.
We were supposed to go on a cruise last year in June. It would have been Olivia's first cruise. Unfortunately, those plans had to be put on hold due to the coronavirus. Hopefully, we will have a chance to set sail soon so Olivia can experience her first cruise. I've only been on one cruise myself, and it was so much fun.
How do boats move through the water?
Well, it depends on the type of boat we're talking about. There are so many different types of boats that can get their power from lots of different sources. To simplify things, we can separate boats into one of three categories.
First, there are man-powered boats, like kayaks and rafts. In order to move, the people on board these boats have to work to keep it moving.
Then we have sailboats. Sailboats capture wind in their sails, and that wind gives the sailboat the energy to move forward. Sailing is pretty easy when you're navigating downwind, which just means that the wind is at your back, helping to push you forward. It is much more difficult when you are upwind, and the wind is gusting right at you. When sailors need to go upwind, the strategy they often use is to zigzag, rather than trying to sail directly upwind.
It's kind of like walking or running uphill instead of downhill. It's easy to stroll downhill, and it doesn't require a lot of energy. If you are trying to walk uphill, it requires a lot more effort.
That's a great way to think of it. Sailing downwind is much easier than sailing upwind.
Finally, the last category of boats are motorboats that get their energy from an engine.
These boats can also be called powerboats or speedboats. They are powered by gasoline or diesel fuel. They are capable of going really fast and can be small, but can also get really, really big. Learning how boats move through the water is interesting, but what I find even more interesting is how in the world boats are able to float. Just think about it. You love going to the beach in the summer. When we go to the beach, you enjoy splashing around in the ocean. When you step into the ocean, what happens? Do you sink or float?
I sink, of course. My feet stay on the ocean floor.
And you're just 8 years old. You actually just turned 8 yesterday, on October 9th. You don't weigh that much, and yet you can't float. You sink right to the bottom of the ocean. Because we weren't able to go on our cruise, you really haven't had the chance to see a massive, gigantic, enormous cruise ship up close. Thankfully, cruise ships don't sink. They float.
How is that even possible? How is it possible that I can't float, but a cruise ship weighing millions of pounds can float on the top of the ocean water?
In order to understand how that works, we have to understand something called Archimedes' principle. Archimedes was the Greek astronomer, engineer, inventor, mathematician, and physicist that came up with the principle that explains why boats float but humans can't.
There are two concepts we need to understand first: displacement and density.
Displacement is the amount of water that is moved when an object comes into contact with the water. If we fill up a bathtub, and then you step into the bathtub, what happens to the water level?
The water level in the bathtub will go up because my body is taking up some of the space the water used to be in, which is going to push the water up.
That's exactly right. That water has been displaced. The second concept to understand after displacement is density. Density is how much something weighs relative to its size. Let me give you an example that will make this easy to understand. Let's say you have a basketball and a bowling ball. Which ball is larger, the basketball or the bowling ball?
The basketball is larger. They are close to the same size, but a basketball is larger than a bowling ball.
That's true. But what if I asked you which one is heavier, the basketball or the bowling ball?
A bowling ball is heavier than a basketball for sure.
Great. That means that a bowling ball has a larger density than the basketball. It's because a bowling ball is heavier for its size than a basketball. That's why a bowling ball will sink in water, but a basketball will float.
So when does something have a large enough density to sink in water? I would think a cruise ship has a large enough density to sink. How in the world do they float?
So, in order for something to sink in water, it has to be heavier than the amount of water it displaces. That's Archimedes' principle. So in other words, if you took the exact amount of water to equal the size of a bowling ball, the bowling ball will be heavier than the water, so it sinks. If you took the exact amount of water equal to the size of a basketball, the basketball will be lighter than the water, so it will float.
So the reason I sink in water is because my body is heavier than the amount of water it will take to equal the size of my body?
Bingo! You got it. And the reason cruise ships float is because they displace so much water that the weight of the water displaced by a cruise ship is still more than the weight of the cruise ship itself.
Wow. Mind blown.
I know. It's really interesting to think about the different ways to apply Archimedes' principle. If learning about that blew your mind, wait until you learn more about Laura Decker, the girl that sailed across the world at the age of 14, or at least she was 14 when the journey started.
She left Gibraltar on August 21st, 2010.
And then, a bunch of days later, after a journey that took her around the world, she arrived in Simpson Bay, completing her trip. How many days did it take her to sail around the world?
It took Laura Decker 518 days to sail across the world. That's 74 weeks. That's 1 year and 5 months. That's crazy!
That sure is crazy. I'm not sure if I would last 518 minutes on the journey she took. She turned the 518-day adventure into an 82-minute documentary video called Maiden Trip.
Learning about boats was so much fun, and I didn't get seasick at all.
I don't think I would be rocking the boat by saying that this was a really fun topic to cover. Before we go, we have new Patreon supporters to thank.
A big thanks to Parker and Charlotte T.
Thanks so much for being our newest supporters. For their support, Parker and Charlotte get more access to Curious Kid Podcast, including our monthly current events episodes. If you want to learn more about supporting Curious Kid Podcast, click on the Patreon link in the show notes.
Also, don't forget to tell your friends about Curious Kid Podcast. You could help spread the word for my birthday.
That would be awesome. If you love the podcast, chances are you have a bunch of friends that would also like listening to Curious Kid Podcast. You can share the podcast with them and then discuss your favorite episodes and all of the fun and interesting things you've learned. Just direct them to www.curiouskidpodcast.com for everything they would need to become the next Curious Kid Podcast superfan. Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's podcast, number 158, on boats.
Great job, Olivia, and great job, Alden, for the gnarly nautical episode topic suggestion. Come back next week when we will get curious about colors for listeners in San Francisco, California, and Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. It's going to be an epic double mailbag you're not going to want to miss. As always, thank you so much for listening and getting curious with us.